Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this brisk 16th Sunday after Pentecost. It's starting to get a little more chilly outside. Maybe we'll have a second or third summer. We'll find out. But I'm glad to see you all here today. I do have a few announcements. The deacons will meet after worship today just to plan the next announcement, which is s'mores night on Friday. Bring a chair. We'll have everything that we need. At 7:30 out at the fire pit on Friday. If somebody wants to bring a musical instrument and serenade us, or we can join some songs, that would be great too. But we'll just have a time of fellowship together. And if you haven't noticed, choir is back in session. Woo! So if you would like to be a part of the choir, they meet on Thursdays at 7:30. There's a rule, though. If you want to sing on Sunday, you have to be at practice on Thursday. So just keep that in mind. Next Sunday is my last time at the pulpit. So please, come on by. And then after worship, come celebrate or yell at me get together, share some memories and some goodbye cake after worship next week. Any other announcements that I'm missing?
Kristen.
Yes.
The fall craft show is October 5th.
Yes.
I have part of the freezer down there emptied out. If anybody wants to bake and put it in the freezer, you can.
Yeah, so the fall craft show is October 5th. It's a little bit early this year. So if you want to bring some cookies or other baked goods to sell at the craft show, BJ's got part of the freezer cleared out. So whenever you're ready. And, we're getting into baking weather. So, and then, just see BJ if you have any other questions. All right. With that, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Trust in the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Trust in the Lord,
who loves every part of it.
Trust in the Lord,
who cares for those in need.
Trust in the Lord, who leads us to do the same. Let us worship God, who shows us the way. Let us rise in body or spirit to join our opening hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Oh,
Friends, it is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sins together. You love us with open arms, O God. Forgive us when we do not put your love into practice, when we do not challenge the injustice around us, when we are not generous with the gifts we have to share, when we are slow to compassion and quick to judgment, when we contribute to the brokenness of the world instead of helping to make it whole. Forgive us, O God, of the ways we fall short. Free us to try again and let your love lead the way. The mercy of our God triumphs over judgment through our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who has pleaded our cause, forgiven our sin, healed our sickness, and delivered us from evil. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let us now together profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And let us please be seated. So the bulletin says congregational anthem. It is not the congregational anthem. You don't know this song. So why don't we let the folks who have practiced this do it, and we'll have our choir's anthem.
Thank you.
Lovely. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. God of mercy, we are weary of disaster. We are tense with concern. We feel helpless as we watch each evening's news. Hear us, O God, as we share ourselves, our prayers, and our hopes with you. Bless us, O God, with a reverent sense of your presence as we lift these petitions to you today. We pray for students newly returned to school. We pray for their curiosity, imagination, and intellect to bloom. We pray that they persevere through every new challenge and that they take advantage of their education, that they work hard to develop their emerging skills. We pray for parents and teachers navigating the transition out of summer and into this new academic year. Bless all of these, we pray, with your wisdom and grace. Lord, we grieve and the fear and the pain felt by all the students and staff at Appalachee High School in Winder, Georgia, and the entire surrounding community. We grieve the lost lives of Mason Schermerhorn, Christian Anglu, Richard Aspinwall, and Christina Irami. We pray for the 9 people hospitalized and all of those who are dealing with the mental, physical, and emotional injuries. We also pray for the 14-year-old shooter who is now in custody, Lord. May they know you. May they get the help that they need. Have mercy on us, Lord. Help us out of the hell that we have created and give us the courage to follow the promptings of your Spirit. We also pray for our nation during this volatile election season. May our leaders be led by your wisdom. May they clearly discern your will and seek to follow it. May we not wage war with words and demeaning rhetoric, entrenching us into further divisiveness, but to find ways to speak our truth in love, remembering that all are part of the beloved community. We pray today for Glenshaw Valley, especially its leaders and elders, as they move into uncertain territory. Send the Holy Spirit to be with the entire congregation and community as they discover their needs as well as yours. Guide them as they listen to one another and discern their way into the future. We pray for the suffering across our globe. We pray for peace in the Middle East and for the Ukrainian people to enjoy the freedom and dignity that we all deserve. We pray for all of those who are forced to endure violence, destruction, and abuse. Save us, God. Save us from the partisan thinking that leads us to believe that others' problems are not our own. Remind us of our interdependence, that the suffering of some is the suffering of all. Mighty and merciful God, we claim your promise of restoration for all who suffer. We glorify you for your constant presence, help, and hope. May your world and all who live in it be renewed through the power of the risen Christ and those committed to bearing Christ's hands and feet in a hurting world. United as a family of faith and as the body of Christ, we lift these prayers up to you as we pray the prayer Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Help Us Accept Each Other. Please be seated. Those who are generous are blessed through the good name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, by whom we have received the favor of God. Better than silver or gold, from the riches of God's grace, let us present our gifts of gratitude to bless those in need. Generous God, thank you for these gifts we bring from your abundance. Bless gifts and givers to show your love to all those in need through our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, healer of the sick, advocate of the afflicted, provider for the poor. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. This morning's reading is from Proverbs 22, 1 through 2, 8 to 9, and 22 to 23. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than gold or silver. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Do not exploit the poor, because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. Bless the reading.
Please pray with me. Holy One, your wisdom cries out in the street, calling us to seek your will. Teach us by your Spirit to be doers of your word and not merely hearers, that our faith may bear good fruit in works of service and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, Proverbs. I think this is actually one of the more underrated books of the Bible. We do use general proverbs quite a bit in our everyday language, and even some of those are actually from the Bible. Generally speaking, a proverb is a condensed statement of apparent truths based on experience. They're just these little tidbits of wisdom that are meant to tell us how to live a good life. And these pithy statements sort of endure in a community over time. So I'm wondering, are there any proverbs that you have heard recently or that you find yourself coming back to over and over? You want me to give some examples first? I can give some examples first. So some of my favorites are, actions speak louder than words. What you do is more important than what you say. There's also, no man is an island. No human is truly capable of providing for all of their needs completely alone. Not only do we need human connection, but none of us knows how to do everything. We need roads and electricians and farmers and so on and so forth. So are there any proverbs, any words of wisdom that you find yourself saying or that you've heard recently?
An old one.
Yes, early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yes. Also, which reminds me of the early bird catches the worm, and I'm like, I don't want to catch a worm, so that's not happening. Any others?
A stitch in time saves none.
Okay.
Start things early and if you don't preempt it, then the problem doesn't get that.
Yes, great. Arlie.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice.
Fool me twice, I won't get fooled again. Yeah, it's, giving somebody a chance once, but, you have to, if somebody's given you a chance, you have to really stand behind your words and your actions. Yeah.
A soft answer turns away wrath. Is that a proverb?
A soft answer turns away wrath. Ooh. I've... But a harsh word stirs up anger. Yeah. See, man, there's lots of wisdom all over the... No.
Do unto others and run?
This is quickly getting away from me. So another one is that I think we're all thinking a little bit right now is that all good things must come to an end. And that's pretty salient for me, both for me and for all of you. And that sort of reminds me that, you know, all of these proverbs, whether they're in the Bible or just, you know, our general sayings, requires a lot of social and cultural context. They don't always mean the same thing in every situation. So while all good things must come to an end is really salient for us at this time right now, and it makes us think of all of the good times that we've had together, as we've shared our love, as we've worked and played and prayed together, you know, and that's going to be different going forward. It doesn't mean that there's never going to be good times ever again, but that this particular time is closing. And so that's, in some way, this is supposed to make us feel a little bit better about that sadness that we feel. But we also say all good things must come to an end when we're in the middle of a boom. When we're in the middle of the time of plenty, and it's used as a reminder that these joyous occasions can't last forever, maybe set a little something aside, really relish the moment, be present, and that's something that's wise in those situations. So yeah, Proverbs, even the ones recorded in the Bible, they're addressed to particular people in particular situations, but at the same time, they do embody these common human truths, these recurring patterns in ordinary life. And we can usually find ways to apply these old truths to these new situations because, in a way, there really is nothing new under the sun. And while the book of Proverbs does follow an organizational pattern, it's still really hard to make any sort of story out of the verses. So the lectionary kind of cobbled together these few verses in a way that made some sense, I guess. And so this chapter of Proverbs seems to say that having a good name is worth more than just about anything else in life. I don't know about you, but I have known personally a few people with unfortunate names. There was a woman that I worked with almost 20 years ago, and her maiden name was Skank. And you might guess correctly, she couldn't wait to get her name changed when she got married. And in high school, I knew a girl, her name was Peppa Ann, and her last name was S-U-L-T, Salt. And so her name was Peppa Ann Salt. And she was able to take that name in stride. She was actually a lovely person. But she still got some guff, you know, here and there. But I think you're also smart enough to know that that's not really what this set of Proverbs is talking about. It's not your literal name or how it's spelled or pronounced or if it's a weird pun. This advice is about building a good reputation. So so that when someone hears your name, they immediately think of a person with an excellent character, someone who is trustworthy. When I lived in New Mexico, one of my many jobs was at a public relations firm. And public relations is all about managing how people see and feel about a person, or a brand, or a company. It's not so much about advertising and marketing. It's something a little more organic than that. And people and corporations don't hesitate to spend a lot of money for a good reputation. In the U.S. alone, public relations is a $15 billion a year industry. A good name is more desirable than riches indeed. The first saying here limits the status of wealth, something we already know to be good. We already know that wealth is a good thing. We would all love to be wealthy. And by saying that a good name is even better than that, a good name and reputation, that's something that's cultivated over time. It's not really celebrity and fame. It's something that's earned over time through wisdom and righteousness, integrity and honesty. It's consistent displays of responsible actions. And a good name cannot be just bought. And furthermore, God actually just doesn't care that much about money. It's really important to us. But money, and money itself is not good or bad. It just doesn't matter. God made all humans, both the rich and the poor, and God sees us all as valuable. We're the ones that make the big fuss and judgments over things like that. Our identities are not based on what we have, but by the fact that each and every one of us are creatures fashioned by God. So what does it take to earn a good name? Proverbs seems to be talking to government officials when it warns against the potential for abusive rulership that's often inherent in power and wealth. But that also goes for any of us who are in any sort of position of authority, a manager, a teacher, a parent, a pastor. Those with good names don't engage in oppression. They speak up against injustice wherever they see it. They're generous with their time, their skills, their resources. They tend to the poor. And when Proverbs says poor, by the way, it's not just talking about people without a lot of money. The poor also includes those people without power, those who are poor in spirit, those people who are vulnerable in any number of ways. So when you go, oh, poor Peggy. that sort of thing. Generally, I think people strive to follow the advice in these proverbs. We can certainly name some exceptions of people who do intentionally exploit the poor to try to gain more and more wealth and power. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, I think we do try to do good. Unfortunately, we don't always get it right. But thankfully, we do have a God with a good name. God's reputation is above reproach. Our wise God uses righteous power to fight injustice and impart mercy. Our God sides with and comforts the poor and the afflicted. That's amazing. That doesn't mean that we're off the hook entirely, that we can just rest on God's laurels. We are still responsible for creating our own names. Again, our reputations don't just happen. It comes from the way that we live our lives and make our decisions. It comes from consistent actions. So how can we, as individuals and as a congregation, live into the ways that allow God and others to pronounce us good? What marks will Glenshaw Valley leave on the world, or even just Shaler, that lets people see and remember God's presence? Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. May the God of hope go with us. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer a blessing. Favored by the excellent name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, share your bread with the poor, advocate for the afflicted, show your faith in acts of kindness, and love your neighbor as yourself. May the wonder of God bless you with all beauty. May the word of God guide you in all goodness, and may the wisdom of God teach you in all truth. Alleluia.